Like, it doesn't have to be that. It could be anything. People's favorite subject is themselves. So anything that tells them about themselves is fascinating. So it could be, I could name 10 other things.
Well, what about the cube? Talk about the cube, right? You know what I'm talking about? So the
cube is an example. And again, it's interesting. A lot of these things that that I learned in the game, like literally just helped me with my interviews and building rapport with people and connecting with people. And I can't tell you how many times I've been introduced to, so the cube is basically a personality. There's a book I think called KOKOLOGY. It's been a long time. I don't know if I don't remember it that well. I remember it was a lot of little personality exercises and little games and things like that. And the cube was a little mental visualization thing. And it's the one that I found to be the most accurate. There's actually a book called The Cube. But you can find a video of me doing it on YouTube back at that time. And I changed it a little bit because I did it so much that I thought my version was more accurate. Who knows? But it felt more accurate. But you ask people a few questions to imagine a few things, and then they imagine those things, and then you tell them what it means. And I found that if I was ever in a situation where it just felt stalled or stuck, I'd be like, want to hear something interesting. Someone did this with me recently, and it kind of blew my mind. And it's a great 15-minute conversation. Everyone loves to hear stuff about themselves. You know, like what, as for example, I'm seeing as we're talking, when I told you that, you looked up and to the right.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think. Paris Hilton? Was that right. The one that was done on Paris Hilton in the game?
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I think with Paris Hilton. But
yeah.
And so just pausing for a second, look up and to the right, right? So read a book on body language, and you can say it's interesting, and this is from NLP. When you look up and to the right, it means you process things visually. You're a visual person. You look up and to the right. Now when you're lying, you look up into the left, right?
Yeah.
That might have been what I did. I think I might have done the eye things with Brittany. I don't remember now. I think I might have done the eye axis. I might have done this with Brittany. I can't remember now because it's so many years ago. It's in the book. I might have done the eye axis in cues, which is this. I think that might have been what I did. I think that might have been it. I can't remember. It was many years ago. But now that I'm talking about it, I remember we did discuss that because we talked about how to tell when someone's lying.
Yeah, because you actually got me, so I actually joined an NLP course now to actually just learn and just become a better communicator because of actually reading the game and reading Never Split the Difference, just to help with communication.
That's it. And I feel like that for me, if I had to do it all over again, realizing that doing this to connect versus to get some kind of outcome. It feels so much. I love that you're doing that.
Yeah. Well said. All right. Well, thank you very much for the question. That was helpful. You triggered some great conversation. Thanks for dialing in from London.
Yeah.
I'm over in Alberta, Canada.
All right. We got an international audience as usual. Yeah. What's your question?
My question is, do you think it's possible to teach kids at a younger age about how to mature and make better decisions quicker in their lives? Because I mean, as of 200 years ago, we were growing up a lot faster than we are today. And so I'm building out a kids entrepreneur camp where we're teaching them the value of money and capitalization and how the free market works. But getting them to make their mistakes quicker is important so that they can grow up faster. So I'm wondering if, from your guys' point of view, with your expertise, if there's a way to help facilitate that.
Interesting. So I kind of hear some thoughts on what you're saying. First of all, teaching kids problem solving, you know, stepping them up into more complex, teaching them things like, I think you said, I think problem solving is the most important skills you can teach a child. The one thing is, I think teaching them to mature or grow up faster may not be beneficial to their childhood. As someone who had to grow up fast, you know, and lost a lot of my childhood because of it, I just feel like I feel one of the kind of basic rights of a child is joy and spontaneity. And those of us, and I'm sure I'm speaking for a lot of people here as well, who had to mature quickly and grow up quickly, we lost something we can never get back. But can you find that? But at the same time, I love that that I 100% agree that the school system today does not teach the skills we need for life, whether it's, as you're saying, the entrepreneurial skills, as well as the, you know, emotional skills, as well as the communication and empathy skills. So things that widen their tool set while appreciating the gifts of that age are golden.
Yeah, exactly. That's sort of the balance we're looking for, and you know, better the relationships between the kid and the parent. But yeah, I was curious if you guys thought that there was a, you know, a way to facilitate that, because it seems like right now parents or kids are holding their parents hostage, to sort of speak. So how do we break that?
What are your thoughts, Chris?
I think I don't know that we can. I think there's certain, first of all, there are biological limitations. I think a parent's job is to help the kids think and to make them feel loved. And since you're going to spend a lot more time as an adult than you are as a child, there's no sense rushing into being an adult, because once you're there, there's no going back. Right. So we want to minimize our children's mistakes, or we want them to make them faster. It's a little bit easier for me to say now because my son is fully grown. I look back on maybe how I try to protect him or didn't. So I think, you know, I think unconditional love, teach him to think and ultimately at the right age, how to work hard. And then, you know, you've done as much as you possibly can for him.
And also it's what's a mistake. Some of the things I felt were mistakes turned out to be the best things in my life, you know, and some of the things I thought were brilliant decisions turned out to be horrible ones. I have this saying, you know, the outcome's not the outcome, that what we think is like we're living in a series of, you know, the endpoint find, you know, is always changing, you know, until the only outcome is really death. So what we think is a success may later prove to be a failure. What we think is a failure may later prove to be a success. It's like that Zen parable of the farmer and the horse and the sun. So let me ask you quickly, Mike, before we move on. I'm curious, what did you lack in your childhood that you needed?
For me, you know, I grew up in a loving family, and I had a, you know, I think a good childhood. Hard to compare because I don't know. I only lived one life. But for me and my kids, what I'm doing now is just helping them grow to hopefully make better decisions. I know we're all going to have to make our mistakes. We all have to take our lumps in life. But how do we speed up that learning process to, you know, make better decisions in your 20s than the kids today in their 20s.
Yeah, no, you ain't, everybody's stupid in their 20s. There's no way around
that. Yeah, I agree.
I think too, it's like the mistakes lead us here. It's interesting. Like, I think just one thought was that it's hard to be the judge. I see this with a lot of parents of teenagers, that they feel like, oh my God, they're doing this, and they start to catastrophize it. I feel like they need to stop it. They feel like if this happens, they're not going to get into college. They're going to destroy their lives. They're going to end up in prison. They're going to end up miserable, dead, whatever it is. But by sort of saying these decisions are wrong and these are going to ruin your life, we ruin their life more because we don't give them what Chris was talking about, which is trust. And, yes. And at that age, I think the gift you can, like you said, when in those early childhood years, teaching, helping them learn problem solving, giving them love and trust, and teaching about them being amazing mentors and teachers, and especially models. You know, I remember all the time, I remember one time my son was really young and I was telling him, that's a fire, that's bad, don't touch it, you burn your hand in the fireplace. And what I taught him was how to lecture. I didn't actually teach him about the fire. He just me talking about the fire. So like, you're the model. So you make the decisions, you act out of love, you act out of trust because they're watching you. They're not listening to you, they're watching you. Right. So I think maybe it's about being just modeling, being awesome, being happy, being all those things. Then as a teenager, it's almost too late, and just trusting them. I'm here for advice. I'm here to talk about you, but I trust that you're going to figure this out. I'm going to give you that. And I cannot tell you how many parents who I've talked about this with, who later in life, when the child was in their 20s, came back, ended up great. And what they got the gift of was a great relationship with their child, instead of a child who's going to hide things from their parent, rebel against their parent, feel learned helplessness, and all these other things that come from catastrophizing, doubting, negativity, criticism around the child. But that's awesome. I love that you're asking this question of how can we help our children, because the system is failing them. It is. It doesn't, there's no mental health, psychology, or, you know, emotional health problem solving components to school. It's just like, how's their mathematics and how's their reading? It's right. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. My whole plan was to help them mitigate risks through their own means. Everyone has their own risk tolerance, but how do we mitigate that or learn how to mitigate the risk and then grow from the mistakes that inevitably happen, because you always know less. I mean, the opportunity to learn more is always less than what you know.
Yeah. And I think you can't protect someone from mistakes, but what you can do is teach them to always be learning.